Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pastors Getting Fit podcast. This is Brandon, and on today's episode, I interviewed Peyton Jones. I'm really excited about this episode. He and I talked about just kind of how keeping physical health in check with all the other types of health is so important and how they all affect one another, and how physical health is one that is very easy to slip for us. And we just really talked about some practical things of how to bring that back into balance a bit. Before we jump into that, three quick things. Number one, the Pastors Getting Fit Facebook group, just a community of pastors who are pursuing their fitness goals. If you'd like to come join us there on Facebook, just search that, Pastors Getting Fit, same name as the podcast, in your search bar on Facebook. Request to join and I will accept you. Second, if you are enjoying these podcast episodes, if you would do one or two things for me and just review it wherever you listen and or share it with another friend or someone, that would be awesome. It would just really help me a lot in my mission of getting the word out about this stuff to more pastors and helping them pursue their fitness goals. And third, I'm an online fitness coach. I work with people all over the country just in pursuing their fitness goals and coaching them through that. And if you are in a place where you're struggling with your fitness, whether that means you haven't started yet, you know, and you can't, whether it's motivation or time or whatever the constraints or the obstacles are for you, if that's you, or if you have been making some progress but you're stuck, whatever it is, just shoot me a text, 251-635-8055. I'm not going to use weird sales tactics on you or blow up your email or anything like that. We're just going to set up a time to call, or we can message if a call doesn't work for you, and we just set up, we just talk through and see if one of my coaching packages is the right fit for you. If it's not, then what I'm happy to do is just give you some pointers and what kind of where to direct your efforts based on our conversation at the very least. So if you get a chance, just shoot me that text, 251-635-8055. Hope you enjoy this episode. Let me know what you think. All right. What's up, everybody? And welcome to the Pastors Getting Fit podcast. Today, I have Peyton Jones on. Peyton, why don't you introduce yourself and tell everybody who you are, what you do?
I'm an international man of mystery, baby.
Yeah, you are.
Hey, Brandon, it's awesome to be here. You and I know each other outside of this. I, for years, was a trainer with North American Mission Board, worked with Mac Lake, and I'm an author. I wrote a couple books, Church at Zero, Cha-Ching, and also Reaching the Unreached. I'm a podcaster. I ran Hardcore Church Planning, which was my interview show, and then Church Planner Magazine's podcast, which was just called the Church Planner Podcast. And right now, I also run Ministry Ninja. That's all things ministry. That's the podcast. And I run the New Breed Church Planning Network. And I blog over at Peyton at, that's my email. I actually blog over at ministryninja.com.
Cool. Yeah, man. Yeah. And I mean,
a few things.
Yeah, just a few.
And I'm a church planner.
Yeah, you've got, just amazed. I mean, I think I've shared this with you before, man, but I mean, I think, you know, like church planting was not even, you know, I knew I was called to ministry, whatever that meant at the time, but like church planting was not even on my radar until I ran across you guys, the Church Planter podcast initially.
Oh, that's cool, man.
You know, I emailed, like when we first got connected, and I emailed like whatever, when you guys used to give out the number of the email or whatever, and I emailed expecting to get like a minion or something, and I was like shocked when you replied. And then, you know
it's funny you say that, because I was mentored. Many of you don't know, I was overseas for 12 years, and I was the evangelist at Dr. D. Martin Lloyd Jones's church. And my mentor was someone who was personally discipled by him, and Lloyd Jones is one of my heroes. But what was amazing was the first time I ever emailed, his name was Peter Jeffrey, my mentor. He wrote me back, and this was in the days before email. Like, you would write a letter, and I was shocked, like you, to get a letter written back. And one of my favorite bands in the 80s, I'm old, I'm pushing 50 here. One of my favorite bands in the 80s was a band called The Alarm, and they were contemporaries, U2, kind of like them, but they were the Welsh version. They weren't the Irish version. And I'll never forget, when I was a teenager, I waited out back after one of their concerts, where the tour bus was. And the lead singer came out and he talked with us for hours. Now, when you're a teenager and your favorite band is playing somewhere and the dude, like, they literally had to drag him. They're like, Mike, we got to go. Come on. His name's Mike Peters. He's now a friend of mine. But, you know, it's funny because you kind of, like, those things impact you. And I read an article once where Mike Peters, because he's so approachable, he said that he went to see the Sex Pistols once. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, he went up to Johnny Rotten and Sid Vicious, and he was like, hey, man, I'm a real fan. And the guy, you know, Johnny Rotten just sneered at him and said, yeah, whatever, and walked away. And Mike Peters was like, you know, I made up my mind I would never do that to anybody. And for ministers, I mean, my joy and passion is equipping and training and coaching. And, you know, I've done all this. I haven't ever charged for it. Like, I got a curriculum coming out now, but I've just done this stuff because I'm passionate about it and I just love doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, but there's that same philosophy of, you know, if I become unapproachable, I become ineffective.
Yeah.
And like, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation if I was like, oh yeah, my minion, take it over.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I don't know, man. Like, this is where I'm passionate, you know, is at the ground roots level, people on the ground, boots on the ground. Yeah. My heroes are the people doing the stuff that other leaders are talking about. I want to talk to the doers. I don't want to talk to the talkers.
Yeah, definitely, man. I appreciate that. And so as everybody's kind of come to expect, who's been listening to this, I think, you know, what we do here is just kind of, I give you kind of a platform, not that you need a platform, but a platform here to just kind of talk about the fitness things that you're most passionate about. And you said that that's kind of balance and taking a bit of a holistic approach. So share a little bit about what you mean by that.
Well, so, I feel like I'm the man with a million past lives here, because, you know, I'll start telling people I was in a shootout once, or I was, I start telling these stories and people are like, well, no way, dude. Well, I was in another life. I was an RN and I worked psychiatric, was in a lockdown facility. But when I was training, there are different philosophies of nursing. And so, like Florence Nightingale, you know, she had a philosophy, like that's how she became famous. But the school that I went to followed a woman by the name of Sister, because she was a nun, Sister Calista Roy. And she had this holistic approach to human beings that I think is actually very biblical. And she would say it this way. She'd say, every human being is a biopsychosocial spiritual being. So say that fast, biopsychosocial spiritual human being. And that was amazing to me as a Christian, coming in going, huh, that's interesting. And all these things interconnect. So I've been in ministry, gosh, I went in at 1992 vocationally. I've been bivocational for a huge chunk, but what is it now? 90, that's 27 years I've been in ministry. Yeah. And a good chunk of those were bivocational. And so I think like 13, 14 years, something like that, were bivocational. As soon as I became a missionary, it was like, phew, it went out the window, you know, like, yeah, you don't get paid for this anymore.
Yeah.
But during that time, I learned the importance of balance in ministry. And some of the old school guys like Lloyd Jones would talk about health a lot. He actually has a book, and I'll see if I can find it while we're talking. It's called Healing and the Scriptures. Remember, he was a medical doctor.
Yeah.
And so that's a fascinating read. Spurgeon used to walk as much as he could to the Met Tab. He would take a carriage on special occasions, but he would also garden. He believed that, you know, I mean, you look at it now and he's stretching and he's out in the fresh air and he's, you know, he's working with his hands. And he would say every minister needs a garden. He would also, he had tons of health issues. So he would vacation in France and he would go get sun down there. The doctors told him, if you want to continue to preach the gospel, Wesley wrote a medical textbook. You cannot separate health and ministry. People forget that in all of Wesley's prolific writings, he had certain things that now would be considered way ahead of its time. Now, there were certain things he said that you can laugh. You know, there's a few things in his medical textbook that are just hilarious. But he was circuit riding well into his 70s.
Yeah.
And in his 80s, he was taking a carriage. But he struggled with all kinds of things. But he actually was very, very healthy.
Yeah.
In his 70s, most young men could not keep up with him.
Yeah.
And he'd say things like, you take a cold shower or bath. Today people are saying, oh, that's so good for you.
Yeah. It's like a new thing.
Yeah. He wouldn't sleep on a feather pillow or down bed. He would sleep on the floor.
Yeah.
And he felt a couple things. He felt that keeps me tough, but it also keeps me. So, you know, you look at all these things and we have a way of compartmentalizing spirituality, health, mental health, and our social engagement. Whereas, like I said, that sister, she was a nun, Calista Roy, took a more biblical approach, I believe. Yeah. And, you know, all these things interconnect. And of course, famous philosopher Rene Descartes, you know, during the Enlightenment, he was like, hey, where do these things connect? And of course, he thought it was the pituitary gland. He was wrong. Yeah. But even then, like, you know, as great of a philosopher as he was like, you know what, there's a place where all of these things connect in a human being. And he tried to figure it out and he couldn't. And I don't think we can either.
Yeah.
But to know that these things are connected, I think is you're step ahead of the game. If you realize I'm not going to preach as well if, you know, I'm in pain or I have sluggish brain because my blood's not flowing or, you know, whatever it is.
Yep. Absolutely, man. And I think just like you said, it's so easy to compartmentalize those things and kind of put them in their own boxes and think, you know, and I think when we do that, like kind of what happens is the social and the spiritual are the ones that kind of rise to the top because like it correct me if I'm wrong on this, but kind of how I see it is most pastors would, the spiritual obviously is kind of a priority thing. You know, you're trying to maintain their own relationship with the Lord and be in the scriptures and be in prayer. And then the social piece, you know, you're trying to obviously engage with other people, you know, like pastoring our church and engaging with the lost and all of that. But then the other two, the bio and the psycho are the ones that kind of like, I think get pushed to the back burner because they're perceived as the ones that really like only apply to us. You know what I mean? People kind of think like, okay, you know, I don't have time to go to the gym or if I'm going to, you know, I need to be over here doing this for this person. And I don't really have a lot of time to, you know, care for my mental health, which we'll focus more on the physical piece, obviously, because that's what this podcast is about. But I just think that most people would probably push those kind of to the back. Would you agree with that?
For sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times we see it as like a hallmark of spirituality.
Yeah.
So kind of, oh, I'm so focused on the Lord, don't have time. But to me, it's a dishonor to find and I'm going to offend a lot of your audience right here.
Yeah.
But I think when you let your body go, it actually is dishonoring to the design of the Creator.
Yeah.
The Creator designed your body a certain way and to me, it looks negligent. And I've always thought, you know, it's funny because even Chaucer way back in the day, he used as a term of derision, there was the fat friar. If you remember Canterbury Tales, he caricatures the parson who is this kind of poor country preacher who's doing it for the love of God and love of people. So he's not anti-religion, but he juxtaposes that with the friar who's this big fat dude and you can just tell he's just sitting around all the time. And I kind of got to ask you, like, you know, and I'd ask the listeners, Paul, as busy as that dude was, and I think we can also idolize.
Sorry.
Yeah.
No, it took me a minute too.
We can also idolize. We can, I was going for idolatry, but we can idolize busyness too. And that becomes an idol. Yeah. And I don't think that's right either.
Right.
But you know, for Paul, Paul was working with his hands. He was hard traveling. I mean, a lot of the stuff that Wesley's saying, Paul, he was modeling himself after Paul. And there's just a physical component to your body and longevity in ministry. And when you let yourself go, you're literally saying, I'm gonna make my calling shorter than what it would be. And I believe less effective, you know, if you're eating right, if you're, you know, if you're getting the blood going, if you're looking after yourself, just your mind. And there's so many studies about it, your mind is going to work so much better.
Absolutely, man. And I would even say, I mean, 100% agree. I think too, you know, one thing, and I've said this on this podcast before, but I think that, it's easy sometimes for us to think like only, which obviously the person who is overweight, you know, is somebody who needs to take care of their health. But I think sometimes it's easy for us to think like, okay, the overweight person is unhealthy. The person who's not is healthy. You know what I mean? And I think that it's sometimes a person, if you're a pastor listening to this and maybe you're not overweight, maybe you're like, but you also aren't like doing anything to actively really care for your health. You're not doing any kind of workout, any kind of like, you're not eating well. You just happen to be blessed with like a really good metabolism, which will eventually catch you, you know,
candy all the time and ice cream. Cause you're like, I'm not going to pay for this, but
yeah, absolutely, man. I think, I mean, I'm 31 now and I lift weights 4 times a week and I eat sensibly and, you know, but I already like, I can tell like if I'm on vacation or whatever, and it's not a big deal because I know I'll get right back to it. But if I'm on vacation for a week or out of town or whatever, and I have limited access to the gym and eat kind of iffy, like it's definitely noticeable for me now, even if nobody else notices it. Whereas before it wouldn't have like impacted me at all. And I think, you know, I just think we have to think, you have to realize this is for literally everybody who hears this. It's not, you know, and I think, you know, I think that, let me ask you, what would you say, like, if somebody buys into this, right, like they believe what we're saying, that they need to care for themselves in all of these different ways, what would you say to somebody, let's start off with somebody who's not really doing anything actively right now to pursue physical health? What would you say are some good places to start for them?
Yeah, let me back up. I want to answer that. Let me back up and just say this. So I'll set some context because I'm always thinking about lost people. And, you know, think about it. Right now there's this fitness trend. And I know that's your industry, and yet you've merged. I mean, in some ways you've embodied what we're talking about today. But you know, there's such an emphasis right now on the physical and on the body that people are trying to fill that void in their life with that. So you can see the idolatry.
Right.
Similarly, if you go to things like, and I listen a lot of Audible, and I listen to some of these boffins and brainiacs on there that, you know, it's all about the mind, you know, in certain circles, it's all about your brain, right? And your mind. And, but again, all of this is a type of idolatry where, if I could back up and just say that to the Hebrews, and I'm about to say something really strange. so brace yourself for this. Have a friend who's a Hebrew scholar. I am not a Hebrew scholar. I will not pretend to be a Hebrew scholar. But my friend talks about like some of the passages that the Hebrew understanding of the soul is that the when God, for example, forms Adam out of the clay, he forms him, you know, carbon-based life form, primarily out of the dirt, yada yada, essential minerals in our body, and water. If you poke us, we leak. But you know, basically, he says, look, you know, he forms the physical body of Adam, but it's not till he breathes the spirit into him that he becomes a living soul. And so, that's what it says in Genesis 1. And so when he breathes into him and it says, and thus Adam became a living soul, that the soul is the union between the body and the spirit. And one of the ways that he communicates this is he says, look, you know, when Jesus says, do not fear him who can kill the body, but fear him who can kill the body and soul. The annihilationists, which I don't hold to, those that say that there is no hell and you cease to exist once you come under the judgment of God, they take that verse as a proof text. And my friend says, no, the soul is the union. So obviously the lake of fire, your body is destroyed forever. So that link, the soul that connects the spirit and the body, that is what you no longer are a living soul. You still have a spirit which suffers for all eternity. But, and so for some people, they're like, oh, I've never heard this. This blows my noggin. yada, yada. Sounds weird. It's just Hebrew. Right. Yeah. And he would have various proof texts from rabbis and different people where he would say that. And to me, that just makes sense to me, because otherwise Jesus's statement doesn't really make sense where he distinguishes between, and he even says the sword of the spirit distinguishes between spirit and soul, the word of God distinguishes. So there's a, you know, we're not believing, you know, in a trichotomy or a, you know, whatever, but just to kind of just back up and say that the church has the message in today. If I see the fitness craze, my first thought is you're spending all this time at the gym every night at the expense of having relationships, right? Yeah. And you know I'm talking like the gym rats that are there.
Right, I know what you're saying.
Three, you know, twice a day, you know, at the expense of relationships. And they're just trying to get hot so they can hook up on the week. And right. And so, you know, what you say is, look, you have a deeper calling. You're meant to have children. You were created for this purpose, and you're only fulfilling one. You're filling one bucket. You're putting everything in that one bucket, and it's going to leave you empty, because your body's eventually going to be your enemy. No matter what, at the end, at some point, your body's going to fail you. That's called death. It's called old age. That's coming for you. Yeah. So we have this unique message to say, what's being done for your soul, right?
Right.
And it doesn't matter if, like, in the 80s, it's money. Everybody was chasing after money. That's less, you know, apropos nowadays. But we always have a message when we're centered around balance. Yes, it's good to look after your body. Yes, it's good to stimulate your mind and your mental faculties and to challenge yourself mentally. These things are all good, but within balance.
Yeah.
And your relationships, even Jesus, you know, he didn't say, hey, make your wife everything, make your kids everything, worship them. He goes, no, you know, put me first.
Yeah.
No. Don't make them an idol either. So there's always a sense of everything needs to be in a harmony, in this harmonious tension and balance. And I would say that the world doesn't really know how to do that. And that can be our message, whether you're mediating that through fitness or mental pursuits or whatever it is, mental health, intellectual pursuits, recreational activities, that's always, because God made us to experience all of those, if that makes sense. So
it totally makes sense. So let me, before you go into answering the next one, let me just say on that, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think I was going to kind of gloss over that. And I think you're right. I mean, I'm talking like assuming that it's something that pastors, you know, put on the back burner, but fitness is a big thing right now. And I think, you know, a lot of times, I mean, there are those pastors out there, definitely. Like I fall into this category very much, who it is easy to let the fitness become the thing that rises to the top. You know, I mean, man, that's a struggle for me. I am very much a, like, laser focused, like sniper rifle rather than shotgun kind of person. So like for me, like, you know, when I really fixate on something, I have almost this like addictive personality that I'm going to focus on this, and be the best at this. Like, I don't want to be like, it's not really so much like a competitive thing with somebody else as much as I just want to be really good at it, you know? Yeah. Like, so I don't want to just be like an okay weightlifter. Like, I want to keep getting stronger and keep growing. And so when I do kind of like I mentioned vacation earlier, if I do go on vacation, or we have to go out of town, or for whatever reason I don't have access to like a gym for a couple of weeks, like I'm okay for half a week, but once it gets past that, like I start kind of freaking out a little bit, and that to me is a little bit of a, like, that might indicate a little bit of a problem, you know, that I have let that rise to the top too much. And so,
part of us is human beings as well. If you remember, before the fall, there was work. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like, there's productivity. Adam tilled the ground, and he was a gardener. So he was able to manipulate his environment, watch things grow, and see the, and partake of whatever it was he was doing with his hands. And we live in this information age now, and we don't get that. There's a fascinating book called Shop Class as Soulcraft. And I read this years ago when Kindle first came out. It was like the first book I bought. I don't know why. I had a motorcycle on it. And it was about this white collar guy who left the business sector dissatisfied and went to start a motorcycle shop, and he would build motorcycles from the ground up. Wow. And he said that there was just such a satisfaction to watch this bike being produced, and that he had missed that. And I think, you know, fitness is one of those things where one of the funnest things about it is, even if you have an information job, and let's face it, a lot of ministry is information-based work, you have something that you can physically manipulate and watch the progress and see the results of. And I think that's a good thing. I think God wired us. That goes back to the garden. I think everybody needs something in their life, like concrete, that they can physically look at and say, I've impacted that in my environment, because we were designed by God to impact our impact something, to change things. That's, we're wired for that. So, and fitness is the, it's probably the simplest and best thing to possibly do to get that satisfaction.
Yep. Yep. And you can, I mean, if you're already working out and you're not already tracking your numbers, like on your lifts and things like that, start doing that for exactly the reason he's saying. Like, even if you're trying to lose weight or you're trying to gain weight or whatever, if you maybe you're, maybe the scale is not moving, but those, like, if you can, I mean, the weights are not going to lie to you. You know what I mean? It's completely objective. So, I mean, if you're tracking that, it's really helpful.
I'm going to go to your question now. What should a guy do?
Yeah.
Or girl, here's the deal. My wife has always been way fitter than me. Like we're running a half marathon coming up here. She was on track and field, and I played high school football, but you know, she's always been a runner. And I remember going through a phase where I ran so I could eat what I want. That's a really bad motivation for running, because I hated every second of it. But as I'm getting older, I have to, because, and you and I talked about this before we recorded, I was born with spinal stenosis, meaning my spinal column is the bone part, the vertebrae. In the center, the column where my spinal cord is 2/3 the normal size. The hole is too small. Yeah. So my nerve bundles constantly press up against. So my entire spine, I have this numb, dull buzzing and humming all my life, right? And so as I grew, it got worse. And I thought, because I played football in high school, which horrified my spinal doctors years later. They're like, we can't, but like, you could have gotten paralyzed.
Yeah.
But I said, no, I'm karate man. I'm too tough. But anyways, what happened was I learned that I had to stay kind of fit anyways, just to not be in pain. And later that was confirmed when I got my diagnosis, where they said, you're going to always have to keep proper alignment. And the best way to do that is to stay in shape.
Yeah.
But I would find I would be fatigued. Then I couldn't think. And I'm a thinker. Like, thinking, you know, I'm reading Cal Newport's book right now called Deep Work, because I'm writing a church planning textbook for Zondervan. And deep work is, that's my sweet spot. I've always been able to do deep work. And so I'm fascinated by this book, but I lose the ability if my body starts fighting against me while I'm doing it. Like, if I'm in pain, I get fuzzy head and I can't produce. And so I read a quote recently. I can't remember her name, but it was in Tim Ferriss's Tool of the Titans, because I read a lot.
Yeah.
And there was a statement where he asked one of these CEOs of this business company, what's a good day when you feel like I'm killing it? And she said, well, I'll tell you the one thing. It always starts with exercise.
Yeah.
I work best after I've exercised.
Yeah.
And I think most people do. But the thing that I would say is just walk. Get moving. Yeah. You know, people start with the gym, and I always think that's great, but if you're not walking and doing cardiovascular, and walking is so good for you. Mm-hmm. I would say the life hack that I learned early on was, my wife would say, come walk with me.
Yeah.
And it does two things. We said that we're a biopsychosocial spiritual being. It does two things. It helps my physical. It also helps my social, because my wife and I now get to connect.
That's cool.
Emotionally and talk. And, you know, that's one of the things that people always struggle with, is if I start working out, I'm going to steal time from my spouse or my family. And we already don't get enough time. Then you walk, you know, let kids take their bikes, get on a bike path, walk, you know, and to me, that's the ideal way to start.
Yeah. And I think, like, so just full transparency here. When I first started coaching, 3 years back, I still am all about strength training because I've seen the benefits of that. And so I immediately, when I signed on with somebody, you know, when somebody came on, I was like, all right, like, let's hit the bench press, deadlift, squat, overhead press, and then like fill in the gaps with anything else, you know? And so while I still believe that those do convey more benefits than just about anything else, I mean, from everything, you know, in so many ways, I mean, especially as you age, having some kind of form of resistance training
I have is thoughts really on important. That.
But mm-hmm. I also think that, like, now, you know, the more I've grown and learned as a coach, I've realized, like, not everybody is going to go to the gym. Not everybody can, like, time-wise or money-wise or whatever it is, go to the gym. And some people are just terrified of the gym. And, you know, it's okay. Like, I think one of the biggest killers of, like, fitness progress, really any progress, but yeah, is just, like, this all-or-nothing mindset that people have. You know, they think, like, if I can't do it like this person does it, or if I can't most go 100% all in, you know,
This is going to sound really arrogant, but I think most guys in the gym are weenies. Like, yeah. I think when they're working out, like, because back when I was super into, like, I used to live in the gym when I was single. And for me, it was all about form. It wasn't about weight. It was the form of the exercise, and it was about definition on the body and stuff like that. And I used to read all the books and all the magazines and, you know, knew the importance of stretching and all that. You know, like, to me, I would just, and this is kind of arrogant, but I'd be like, meatheads, you know, like a bunch of weenies, like, you're doing it wrong. Like, I'm watching you do it. And so the thing is if you just focus on knowing some exercises, even starting off with 10, like, I'm not the fitness coach you are. So yeah, don't listen to me. This is old information that I knew from my day, but you know, 10.
Some things don't change.
You study the form. You just get the form right. Read on it. Learn to isolate muscles. Learn to concentrate. Like, if you're doing pull-ups, you know, you concentrate on your back, you know, so you're not just using the biceps. Yeah. Little things like that are huge. And by the way, that's funny. You mentioned getting old, and that's me. And I'm literally, like, I remember going to a concert and watching one of my favorite bands, again, from the 80s. and I watched the guy jump onto, or he got up on an amp, and he had his guitar, and he jumped off, and it just looked painful when he landed. And I went, ooh. And then, of course, I've got my kids who anytime they see, like, a, you know, 2.5-foot wall, they got to hop up on it.
Yeah.
And I remember going to hop up on something. It was either the playground or one of those walls or something. And I went, huh, okay, I made that one, but that was a little challenging. Yeah. And I remember looking at my wife and going, okay, there's certain things I know when I lost, but the ability to hop on and off things, you know, with agility, when did that stop?
Right.
And how did I not notice? I guess I must not have been jumping on and off things a lot.
Yeah.
And because, you know, I was walking or running or whatever, but the thing is that that's what scares me as an older guy. Maybe I don't need to hop on and off stuff as much, but it's the things you don't realize you're losing. And funny enough, pull-ups, my goal right now, and this is going to sound really stupid, but my goal is to do 25 pull-ups a day. I know it's not much, but I'm pushing 50.
That's a good bit, man. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Well, it's not David Goggins, is it? I mean, you know.
It's something.
I broke the world record. You know, I can't remember how many he was doing a minute.
I don't know either. It's
but,
a lot.
But, you know, it to me, that kind of thing, like, if I can't lift my own body weight 25 times, I've got a problem, you know? So I'm starting to work. These are the things I'm thinking. I'm not so much thinking, and you know, you're going to look great when you do pull-ups. I mean, that's kind of like squats. It's one of those exercises where when you do that one, you're kind of doing a lot, you know, it's, I think pull-ups are what squats are to the lower half. Pull-ups are to the upper half.
Yeah. Yep. I'd agree with that actually. Yeah. I think that's really awesome. And so let me ask you this. One more little question here. So
who'd I beat in a fight? Me or Pete Mitchell? Definitely me.
Definitely you. You know, I actually thought about stealing that question for this podcast, and I couldn't come up with
it. Right now on my Ministry Ninja podcast, when I interview people, it's called In the Dojo With, and it's always, what's your secret ninja skill that not many people know about? That question get some great answers. Let me
tell
you.
What's your secret ninja skill? Okay. All right. I'm gonna come up with something like that, man. I've got to. So one thing I was just thinking here. So like, we know, like, if somebody is a, say it again. So biopsychosocial spiritual being, is that right?
You got it.
So if that's what I'm going to title this podcast, by the way.
It's like Pippi Longstocking's name. If you say it fast, it's funny.
It is. But so when somebody's pursuing everything like that, let's say that fitness is the piece that they're kind of ignoring or not paying attention to right now. What are some of the benefits that you think are going to be kind of instantaneous when they really start making that a part of their lives? Like, what are some things that you think they're going to notice?
Well, I think, okay, I just think they're going to feel better. You always hear people say, I didn't know how bad I was feeling until I started feeling good.
Yeah.
And, you know, that to me right there is worth the price of admission.
Yeah.
And I also think that you will find yourself working better. So I mentioned a textbook. I will, starting next week, like today I'm in here, I've just finished moving this office for writing because my environment's always important when I work. It's kind of a weird thing, but I moved from a really big room that I used to use for filming and recording, and I've moved into this really small, tight, like, it just works better for me. If you ever read Stephen King on writing, he talks about how he had this ornate office room, and then he moved up into the attic just with a desk facing the wall, and he said, I wrote the best ever when I did that. So cool. There's kind of a know thyself rule, and so I'm getting ready for that. But what I also know is if I do not work out, so I'll be riding my bike back. I live right by the beach. I get to, you know, pass the ocean on my way here.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. Just being able to do that, I get to go cross a lagoon on a bridge with tall grass. I mean, it's quite, and then I get to go through South Oceanside, which is like the hipster mecca of the Western US, and just, it's a cool ride. And I'm like, man, if I can't do that, you know, on the way to work and on the way back from work to ride all day, I got issues. But that is going to pay off huge dividends. Yeah. And I just know I'm going to work better. And so I would say to answer the question, most of your people out there, they're going to find themselves sitting in their pastor's office or ministry office, whatever they're doing. They're going to go, oh my gosh, how am I? This is a... ideas have never popped like this. I've never had solutions like this. I've never strategized like this. I've never had as many aha moments.
Yep.
And I would just end with Lloyd Jones, who was a big advocate of saying that the mind was the channel to the soul, that to reach someone's soul, God made the channel the mind, that the thoughts have to, hearing comes from the word, it goes to the ear, it goes into the mind, it's processed, and then it goes to the soul. And so I would just say that that's the same thing, that when you work out your body, that frees up your mind, and that is going to pay dividends in your soul.
Absolutely, man. I mean, that mental clarity and more energy is one of the biggest things to me. Obviously, I mean, you touched on earlier, probably, you know, a likely that you're going to be around longer to do more as well. And then, you know, just ability to do more physical things too, without getting winded, without, like, you know, just, it just applies across the board. But I would say for pastors in particular,
flip side, like, from when you're sick, you guys know, like, you don't want to pray, you don't read the Bible, you don't want to do jack.
Yeah.
And that's the extreme of you feeling bad. Now reverse that.
Yeah.
There's the opposite of being sick would be like your optimal health.
Yeah.
Think of what that looks like and let that inspire you.
Yeah. And last thing I'll add here is that I think that sometimes, like, one thing that's been helpful for me is thinking of rhythm. So, like, I think a lot of times, like, obviously times happen in life where you have to kind of put something on the back burner that you've been doing in order to, we only have so much time, so many resources. But I think one thing that you have to think about, you know, when we're thinking about all these different areas, you know, you're thinking about your physical health, your mental health, your spiritual health, your social health. I think there are times when, yes, something's going to happen where, like, maybe the physical health has to, like, get in the back seat, but, like, to use, like, a cheesy analogy, like, it's going to move to the back seat, not, like, get out of the car entirely. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to ever put it completely off, like, and just go to, like, eating, you know, whatever's around and you know, whatever's most convenient and not doing any intentional form of exercise or training, because, you know, even if it has to go from you're a 3 or 4 day a week person to a 1 day a week person, with the exercise, even if it has to go from like you prep all your food to like you, if you have the money for this, a food prep service, or you just buy things that have like require less prep time. You know what I mean? That it always just don't let it just completely fall away. You know what I mean?
Right.
But anyway, and man,
I'll tell you one little life hack that's helped me with diet is I just eat the same thing pretty much every day, except for night.
I'm so the same. Yeah.
I eat the same thing. Lunch. I eat a variation of a salad every day. And I let myself be hungry because I realized at a certain point that I was, so I don't believe in fasting, but I am an eater. Holy cow. Yeah. Lloyd-Jones said this. He said, there's sleepers and eaters. Those that sleep a bunch don't eat as much and vice versa. And that's true. And there's actually physical science that he didn't know it back then. He was an internist. So like endocrinology and stuff like that. But he knew early on. And I would just say, when I take that element out and I just eat a salad for lunch and I eat my normal breakfast and it's healthy and I make sure I'm eating something that, I drop weight and I feel so good, because the constant needing to feel full. When I lived in Britain, they consider themselves hungry if they're not full at all times.
Yeah.
And some of that crept into my diet, and there's just times I don't need to be eating, but I think I'm hungry and I'm not.
Yeah.
And so there's been a certain rhythm to me of not dieting. I've never been a fan of dieting, but knowing, like kind of telling my body, you don't need that much food right now. You know, the mind is telling you, but that's not your body.
Yeah.
Your mind right now. And taking that in hand and experimenting. And that's been huge to me.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Thanks. And so I know we're out of time here. I want to wrap it up, but what else that we haven't covered on this topic would you want to share? And also kind of take this chance to plug anything that you would want people to come look for that you're working on right now.
You know, I did a huge, you know, you and I were talking about maybe we should do the mental health stuff, since I was a psych nurse and minor in psychology and yada yada, and then psychiatric. But you know, on the Church Planner podcast years ago, I did a whole series on how to minister to people with mental health issues. So that might be enlightening just to hear how mental health works from a scientific level, and then also, and then applying ministry to it. But also, I recently did something on ministering to people in pain, which also had the added flip side of ministering as a person in pain. And that was hugely about mental health. We talked about Spurgeon, and I covered a lot on depression on that podcast. That's Ministry Ninja. But also coming up right now. So what I'm really excited about, and you can find this if you go to ministryninja.com, at the top right, you'll find a button that you click called Jump School. So this is a labor of love. This is about 10 years in the making. I made it's a core team training. So I always tell people, hey, they trained you, right? Like I probably helped write that training if you went through NAMM, you know? But the reality is that nobody trains you how to train your core team. And the most common question I've gotten over the years is, hey, Peyton, I got my core team. What do I do with them? How do I be the gospel animals they need to be? Because you get to a certain stage in church plan. I've planted multiple churches. You get to the point where you realize it's not really about what I do. It's about what they do.
Yeah.
It's about mobilizing the body. And if you can do that, you've won in church planting. And so what I do is I basically walk you through. It's a 6-month curriculum. It's all online. You can lead it from your iPad. It's pretty cool. It's got like an accordion feature. So you just be holding like an iPad mini. Everything's right there for you. There's a video to show them every week that you just shoot off to your TV. Like it literally can be led by hand. It's a 6-month training. It launches on this coming Monday, which I think, isn't that like the 23rd of September? And some of it we are filming like out in the UK. It's got a Band of Brothers feel. It's called Jump School. It's got a very World War II paratrooper. I used the paratrooper as an illustration of a church planner, that it was Eisenhower's secret weapon. to defeat Hitler, that the church planter is God's special commando secret weapon to turn back the tide of darkness. We know that. We know statistically. We know the quotes from various leaders that have led movements. For Wesley, it was the circuit rider, more apostolic ministry. But it's team-based. It's very first century. It's how I say it's not only how I train my core team, it's better. Because every time you train a core team, you learn a lot. And so this is how I'll be training my next core team. But you can go to Jump School, click that button on ministryninja.com. And if you do it the week of the 23rd to the 28th, you get $200 off only for that week during the launch. So
that's awesome, man.
And your team gets a journal. I mean, it's cool. I'll talk about it forever. So I'll shut up.
Hey, no, you keep going.
But that's my passion. And I'll just share about that. And if you watch this space, you'll see other training coming out, citywide network training later in the year that forms teams of planners like Paul did. Everything always comes down to first century for me.
Yeah, which I love, man. I love it. All right. If you haven't read Church Zero, I'm going to plug for you here.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, all right, Peyton, man, I really appreciate it. Going to stop recording here. Thank you, man.
Hey, hey, quick reminder, Pastors Getting Fit Facebook page. If you'd like a little free community there, people on the journey with you, review this wherever you listen to podcasts and maybe share it with another pastor who you think, might benefit from it, in a loving way, of course. And, if you think you might be interested in online coaching, somebody to kind of help you figure out what to do and help you stick to it, 251-635-8055. That's my number. Shoot me a text. We'll set up a time to call. Yeah, hope you have a good day. Hope you enjoyed this episode.